Andrew, put down your food.
I thought I could chew faster.
Put down your food.
I thought I could chew faster.
That was a race. I watched you race the clock.
I just thought I could do it. I have salad in my mouth.
What kind of salad is it? Tell us about the salad.
Yeah, what you got?
It was, previous friend of the show, no, current friend of the show, previous guest on the show, Jessica Gao, had to go out of town and had a bunch of vegetables left, so, in her fridge. And she basically texted me the night before she had to get on a plane and was like, I need to just, like, put all of my vegetables in your, or, you know, you could have all my vegetables. Anyway, this is an unconscionable amount of kale. I have, like, more kale. I think I literally have, like, 2 cubic feet of kale in my fridge, like, packed dense. Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying to get through it as quickly as possible.
This is a going out of town pandemic fridge garbage salad, in case anyone wanted to know the official name.
Andrew T., Tawny Newsome, Yosis Racist, we have special guest, Joey Clift is here. What's up, Joey?
How's it going? thanks for having me. I'm always excited. This is a fun show. I'm always excited to be back. I just wanted to say, I feel like that's something that's happening to me a lot more during the pandemic that never happened before the pandemic, is friends texting me because they have extra food. Mm-hmm. Like my friend Benny just, like, texted, like, my group chat, like, I made extra brownies. I'm not going to bring them to you, but if you come to me, I'll pick them up. So, like, all my other friends in the group chat were just like, ooh, I want brownies. So I, like, drove to my friend Benny's house, and then, like, took brownies and then dropped them off at my friend Lucas's house, and then we all had brownies.
It's very frontier times. I like it. It's very, like, I have a theory that there's a lot of millennials and Gen Zers, especially in Los Angeles, who never really cooked before, just because, you know, ordering was so easy and available. And so I think a lot of people this year have tried a lot more cooking. And so portion control sometimes is, you know, sometimes you cook for 10 just because the recipe said to, and there's only 2 of you living there. So there's a lot of, everyone's figuring out how to be a full doomsday prepper. I am available if anyone would like a one-on-one seminar. I should just do, like, web-based seminars about prepper life.
Right.
I mean, one thing I've noticed actually with people's general, like, oh, I have so much food, so much leftovers, is I think no one, either they don't have the right storage stuff or people are not using their freezers right. Because it's just throw it in the freezer. Like, it's fine.
That's true. People don't know how much stuff they can freeze. Put that soup in a freezer.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
Yeah, I feel like my roommate's got that stuff on lock in that, like, he'll make huge portions of just, like, you know, chicken, just various meats and stuff like that. And it'll be, like, frozen in the freezer. I just, my freezer game is not great. So I just have, like, 3, like, vegan Trader Joe's depressing frozen dinners.
That's what I'm saying, dog.
Yeah.
Get on that freezer game.
What I'm here to tell you, Joey, take it from me. You can make and freeze your own depressing vegan meals. And then they can have your own personal spin on them.
So I'm at the point in my food journey where, for the longest time, I mean, the past 3 months, I've settled on, like, a type of sandwich that I make that I really like, which is just, like, it's just, like, whole wheat bread, like, vegan mayo, like, there's, like, vegan deli slices you can get from Trader Joe's, like, soy-based cheese, some, like, pickles in the center. It's just, like, a pretty good down-the-middle sandwich. And one of my friends was just in a text chat, was just like, hey, you know you could toast that, dude. And I was like, what?
What?
That blew my mind. So now I've been, putting a frying pan out, putting some butter on it, and, like, having toasted sandwiches.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
And then wait until you experiment with the open-faced version. I don't want you to get too excited.
Oh, man. Oh, I am. I've got so much. I'm thriving in quarantine.
I do like how Joey basically just came up with the Quiznos business model, but just in his own kitchen.
This is the time to invent things that may or may not already exist, everybody. This is the time for that. You know what this else is also the time for? We've got to talk about, look, there's things I need to get out of the way. We released an episode last week on the day of the inauguration. We couldn't have known what was going to happen. Thankfully, things were peaceful and nothing scary happened. But we were a little nervous because we had a big, fun, jokey episode. And we were like, oh, no, if racists storm the inauguration and something bad happens, this is going to be rough. So I just want to say grateful for that. We've got a new president. We're going to talk about those things. We also have to celebrate Joey's new gig. It's not really a new gig because you kind of alluded to it last time you were on, but writing for Spirit Rangers on Netflix. This is such an exciting new show.
Yeah, it's great. It's the first ever show with a Native American showrunner, really great Chumash writer, Carissa Valencia, and like an all Native writers room, like largely Native voice cast. It's about like, it's a preschool based show, like just all about Native American kids going on adventures. And this is the first time there's ever been like a Native animated show created by Native people in the 100 year, 70 or 80 year history of television. So it's great.
My jaw just like hit the floor thinking about how there has never been even one. Okay.
Well, it's like, it's not even like, it's like, I wanted to talk about this a little bit on the show. 2020 was like a nuts year for Native representation in that like, at the start of the year, we had like an NFL team just named after a straight up slur about Native genocide. And like, at the end of the year, there are like three Native American TV shows in production, not just in development, not just like with pilot deals, like in production, like they're going to be released. And every year prior to that, there was never even one. So it's like, it is just a nuts year to go from like NFL team with a racial slur to like, oh, like legit Native representation on, you know, TV coming out in the near future. So it's like, I don't know, it's just, it's cool. It's like, I've been saying it for a while. I've been optimistic and I feel like stuff's turning around.
Oh, that's good. And it sounds like, I mean, especially with Spirit Rangers, it sounds like it's not a trauma-based tale. It doesn't sound like, especially since it's for preschoolers. It sounds like there's a lot of joy and like it feels like probably very nice, meaningful representation of just Native people living and experiencing life.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, you know, I can't spill too much, but it's a nice show. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's for preschoolers. So it's like not... Yeah, like, and I feel like that's something that, like, so much of the time when you see, like, you know, like, Native storylines on TV or, like, any, you know, Native news coverage or Native anything in the media, it always focuses on our trauma and, like, you know, things like, you know, just all the traumatic things happening in Indian country. So, like, it is really cool to work on a show that's, like, based on, yeah, just the joy of, like, shit you do when you're kids. And it's, like, yeah. I don't know, it is... It's just like a, I don't know, it's a great job. And I think it's going to turn out real well. I'm excited.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's cool.
Man, I don't know. It's just funny to like think about like, yeah, the progress that I don't think, you know, or finding the silver linings and shit, maybe. I'm so bad at that. So like, I'm just glad that it's, you know, there for somebody. And like, you're fucking, we were just talking about how everyone's like setup has like blown up since the last time. You were on... Were you our first guest in pandemic or second?
I want to say
early on.
Yeah, it was like March, April, something like that.
Like
yeah.
I feel like last time I saw you, like I was still using my phone as the way to communicate.
Oh yeah, podcast, I remember that
because I hadn't figured my shit out. Yeah, okay. So it has just been wonderful. Like yeah, literally just did the podcast setup as a reflection of everything else. You know.
Yeah, this is an audio thriving show. I'm using a ring light. So that's good. We were talking about that beforehand. So yeah, you know, it's like, yeah, silver linings. You know, we got a new president. There are three Native TV shows in production. We all got good podcast mics now. It's good stuff.
The big three.
Yeah.
So speaking of our new president, I just wanted to see if any of you had seen any of the discourse about the Bernie meme. The Bernie meme flying around the internet. I'm sure that everyone has seen it a million times over of him sitting in a folding chair, just an older man feeling the chill of the January Washington air, wearing some lovely mittens, just sitting in a folding chair. That has populated all over the internet, like just a millionfold. But did any of you see the inevitable backlash to the meme?
Yeah, just like anti-mitten Twitter is just so mad at this meme.
Just like, yeah, what do we take from that? So if you guys are not online as much as we are, congratulations once again.
Yes, you're very good. You're living a fulfilling life. You're doing great.
Yep, congrats. But now this is where we tell you about the internet.
We are cautionary tales above all else.
Yep. So some people were upset that this took away some shine from us electing our first woman vice president, our first black woman, our first Indian woman vice president. Yeah, the fact that we have a National Youth Poet Laureate again. Amanda Gorman delivered a beautiful poem. So, you know, a big day for women. Lady Gaga wore a giant metal sculpture on her shoulder. Big day for women. So the takeaway was that people were upset that the most popular thing to come out of the inauguration was Bernie sitting in a chair. How do we feel about this?
So, I mean, I guess I get it from like an, I get it from the standpoint of like, is this pulling attention away from more important things? But it's not Bernie's fault. He's just a cold old man. He's a cold old man. He just wanted to bring his envelope and drop it off at the post office afterwards. His Subaru was like, I don't know, was still idling on the like lawn of the White House. It's sort of like, yeah, you know, is there something to like, oh, but it's also the internet picks whatever dumb things they want to mean.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you kind of can't stop it.
I had a moment where I was like, oh, we are actually fucked, when I did see like the Bernie bro side and the like, you know, very like, I don't know, Biden. Did Biden fans have a name? Or Kamala fans have a name?
Biden, just Bernie bros, Biden dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but do the Biden people have a name other than just like, okay, we're here now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Good enough. But all those people going after each other so hard online, I was just like, oh God, we're so fucked. Like the fact that like none of the most online people can like, it's just like, okay, however much you are annoyed at Bernie Sanders fans or whatever you want to call like Biden people, like surely the Nazis are worse, right, guys? Can we just like unify? I was just like, you know, yeah, whatever. It was the amount of people that were mad and arguing about it, I was like, oh no, they're still Nazis. Yeah. They're still there.
That's something that was so nuts to me about like the controversies right now around Biden are like, he got a Peloton bike and he has like a nice watch. Like he has a Rolex watch. Mm-hmm. And it's like, 3 weeks ago, Nazis stormed the Capitol building.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's just like, yeah, I mean,
the fact that we're like back to normal is
it is.
Oh man,
we're back concerning. To regular bad, everyone. We're back to regular bad, and you know, I'm fine with it. I'm fine with it. We were used to a lot of regular bad for years, and I'm fine to just not be in pure dipshit evil territory. Just a pure evil piece of trash president. I'm fine to go back to regular bad.
I guess I was hoping we were past regular bad is all. I just was hoping we could, I don't know.
Maybe they could impress us.
So there's a couple things there. I think that, you know, like same as y'all, I was like, when there was a news story about Biden being like, I'm thinking about getting a first cat, I was, of course, delighted because I love cats. And that, but I was like, but I loved it on a second level of, oh, this is like a normal, like, just like good optics layup that the Trump presidency completely failed at on every measurable sure. factor. And like, it is nice to see just like those boring political stories get into the back of the media. But
yes.
It is kind of a bummer, just like with what Andrew was saying, in that like, yeah, it's like, I feel like the Obama tan suit controversy was used as a punchline for the past 4 years of like, remember when that was something that was a news story? And like, it is annoying that like, there's no awareness that now we're just going back to like Peloton bikes being a controversy. It's just like, there should be some awareness of like, there were Nazis in the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We should.
This is the shit that got us here in the first place. And we're just back is my worry.
Like,
I don't know.
We should let those stories just like, I don't know, Biden's got a Rolex watch that's a little bit nicer of a watch than you want. That's fine. It's okay. Yeah. We don't have to have a news story about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say, and this is something that I wonder if I would have clocked this, but certainly I feel like I saw it via one of your retweets, Joey, which is the deep irony of this land is your land, this land is my land, this land is your land.
Oh, yeah.
At the inauguration.
Oh, yeah. That's also something I wanted to talk about the inauguration. So Native American people were referenced exactly one time in the inauguration, you know, the hour-long, you know, festivities, people giving speeches and stuff like that. And it was like, it's just a throwaway line of like, of like, oh, you know, we're going to be in a land that honors the immigrants, you know, blah, blah, blah. I think it was, I forget who it was. It was a pastor that said it. And that was a big enough news story among my like native friends that like a couple of text chains blew up with just like, yo, they talked about natives.
Yeah, like we're referenced.
Yeah, yeah. They just said Native Americans. So it's like the bar is so low. But, you know, also this land is, you know, your land as, you know, I saw a lot of like non-native friends being like, unironically, this should be our national anthem. And I was like, no, it shouldn't. No, no, it shouldn't. Please. It's like, I don't know. And like, I know like Woody Guthrie, it's like, I know that he meant the song ironically, but like, I don't know. The people singing it don't think it ironically.
I know. Yeah, there's not enough. And look, and I've said this before many times, there's not enough Woody Guthrie stands out there to truly know the man's intention when he wrote these songs. So I do think it gets used in a way that's not at all how the man intended it.
Yeah, it's like, it is just a weird, like, you know, it's things like that, like when, like I was talking to some friends about this yesterday about, like, it's like when the phrase, like, the United States is a nation of immigrants is thrown around a lot, mm-hmm. it's like, yes, but also, like, you know.
There's a couple big exceptions.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I feel like people just, like, gloss over those exceptions a lot. It's just like, or, I don't know, it's like.
Yeah.
You could do the Woody Guthrie, This Land Is Your Land song, but you could also have like a land acknowledgement at the start of the inauguration. That would have been cool too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you could have had,
oh God.
It's like, you know, the poet laureate that we had give the poem, that was of course an incredible poem. That was great. But like Joy Harjo's native, she gets to the US poet laureate. She is like the first ever two-time mm-hmm. poet laureate. She could have done a poem too. You could have had a native person speaking on that panel, you know.
We could have had mm-hmm. two poets. I would have been down for two poets.
Could have had two poems. Could have had two poems.
God, it was nice to just hear poetry. It was nice to just see art, to just be like, oh, mm-hmm. art, because not every artist and performer hates the dumb shit president.
I don't know. Wagner and Leni Riefenstahl are technically artists as well. So that's.
Yeah, yeah. And like Wagner's grandchildren read, they perform a section of the Ring Cycle.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, just excerpts of Rheingold. Oh, lordy.
That was something I really appreciated about the inauguration. And like it retrospectively was just like another reason of like, oh, the Trump presidency sucked. Is like, how well produced this inauguration was. Like there were like mm-hmm. actors, they were like great, you know, there was an hour and a half long, very well produced, like, you know, inauguration celebration thing with a huge firework display. Whereas like, you know, over the course of like, you know, the day of Trump's inauguration, it's like, what was there on that day other than Sean Spicer running to the press room and being like, the crowd was bigger, it was bigger. It's like, there was mm-hmm. no, like just the fact that the Biden team had the bandwidth to produce a huge thing on top of already a huge thing was like, oh, I feel good about this. This feels like better, you know.
Was the Trump inauguration when they had that like middling kind of a brass band try to play a bunch of pop hits and a woman was like screeching Bruno Mars out to just a crowd of no one?
I think that was a campaign thing. I think that was earlier. Yeah.
That did happen at they did a it was like the 4th of July Trump not Rushmore / Black Hills thing where there was just like a very out of tune guy trying to sing like Get Lucky by Daft Punk or something.
Yeah. Or like, oh, let's get it started or whatever. And this is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So new president, we're fine with this. Things are more fine than they were.
Yeah. Yeah. I think
no
that's
one's
it.
Mad
it's
at like... Bernie. No one should be mad at Bernie.
Yeah, again. We're going to have a native Secretary of the Interior. That's, I mean, assuming she gets confirmed, that's dope. Like Deb Haaland, you know, Laguna Pueblo, that's never happened before. We've never had a native person in charge of the Bureau of Indian Affairs. That's dope.
And I know there was some shitty ways they were trying to block that at first, it sounded like.
I originally wanted to talk about this. I think I emailed y'all to potentially be on the show because there was like a controversy mm-hmm. about Deb Haaland's, you know, potential, you know, appointment to the position. And I was like, I'm upset about this. The always this racist gang will mm-hmm. let me gripe.
Yeah. But then we were like, we're going through some shit. We can't have you on for a couple months. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we figured it out. But I think it's still a good thing to talk about. So Deb Haaland, if you don't know her, she's a congresswoman from New Mexico. She was elected in 2018. She's one of the first ever Native American women elected to Congress. Her and Charisse Davids were elected at the same time. She's an insanely experienced politician. She was chairman of the Democratic Party of New Mexico, vice chair on the Committee of Natural Resources. She's done like so much stuff, you know, just for Indian country, for the environment, for like so many other things. And, you know, so there was a lot of like, you know, buzz about her potentially getting the nomination to be Secretary of the Interior, which is, you know, in charge of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which is in charge of Native lands and et cetera. And like she also had like letters from 150 different tribes that were saying that she should be the Secretary of the Interior. Like dozens of Congress people were like, yeah, make her the Secretary of Interior. Nancy Pelosi wrote a letter being like, make it Deb Haaland. So there was a lot of stuff going for her. But then there was like, right when it seemed like she was going to get it, there were like a news stories going around that like people in the Biden camp were like, oh, but is she experienced enough? And there was like real danger of that derailing her chances of being Secretary of the Interior. Like I do a lot of stuff in kind of the Native, you know, social activism space, and I'm like connected in that world. And like there were like emails from like a lot of Native nonprofits that were like, we need to tweet about this Deb Haaland thing. Cause like if a stink isn't made about it, then some like random some career politician or some other person might get it. So I guess that like I wanted to, and you know, it ended up, there was a big social media outcry. There were a lot of articles written about like, hey, it's bullshit that people are saying that this like a very experienced woman is not qualified for this. While Pete Buttigieg, who was the mayor of a city with like 50 buses, was like nominated for Secretary of the Interior or Secretary of Transportation with like no problem. So, you know, I guess I wanted to talk to you guys about that in the context of like, I feel like that happens to POCs a lot. It's like, you know, the not experienced enough thing is like often code for not white enough, you know? And
And even when it isn't, you know, even the most generous interpretation, when folks don't think they mean that, what they're not looking at is like, well, why isn't this person experienced enough? Is it because people like you kept saying they weren't experienced enough and then they never got the chance to do it? Like, it all started with one racist at first who didn't give someone the job. And then for them to keep trying to get the next job, it's like, well, they didn't have that last job. And it's like, if you trace it back, the lineage goes back to a racist. So even if you're not one, you're upholding their desires.
Yeah.
What I think that like, especially in, I mean, like we see this a lot in Hollywood where it's like, you know, like POC diverse marginalized writers will like, you know, it's so hard to get into the writer's room. There are diversity seats that like don't pay as much. Mm-mm. The diverse writers will often have to repeat levels in writer's rooms, which non-diverse writers usually don't have to do in kind of a statistical way. And like oftentimes like it is thrown around of like, oh, this person was like unqualified and unexperienced for this position. But like, meanwhile, they're like 22. It's like Lena Dunham got girls when she was 22. Nobody said that you're not experienced enough to like run and create girls, you know? Like I feel like marginalized people and POCs are often not given the opportunity to fuck up that like white folks get, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's also like, all of a sudden the standards get real strict when it's like people who aren't white, and then you're like, but like this guy's a genius. I think you see it the most in like the most prominent ones. I feel like it's like you directed some indie movie and you're a white guy who directed some indie movie, and it's Marvel time. Like it's always it's like really easy for executives to take a leap of faith on someone who like looks like them, and like it's like, oh, this is the next Tarantino or whatever, you know, and that's easy to take a chance on, whereas it's a lot harder for the executives, I think, to be like, oh, okay, this indie was like by a woman or like, you know, person of color. And like, I don't know if they're going to like fit the vibe in the same way. It's always like that loose kind of like vibe or like culture shit where you're like, okay, this is why there's no like slack cut for like people of color. You just have to be exceptional in every way.
Yeah, it is just nuts. Yeah, like it was just particularly striking to me with Deb Haaland of like, you know, it's like, she's a politician. She's not perfect. She's got, you know, it's like, of course, you know, it's like, she, you know, she's got things Native countries pushing her on and stuff like that. But it's like, for that job, there is, like, to say that she's unqualified is nuts. And it's like, it is just like, like exactly what you said, like POCs, like all of a sudden, like that rubric gets real strict when it's like not a white dude, like, you know?
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like with law enforcement, right? It's like The letter of the law is for people of color. The spirit of the law is for white folks.
Yeah. And
that's what you see. Yeah.
And it's that's like, what the show Spirit Rangers is about. Coming to Netflix.
Okay, so I'm not sure if I can... I signed a bunch of NDAs, so I'm not sure if I can say what the show is or isn't about. But yeah. I'm going to take a leap.
You
maybe it'll get me fired.
Deny.
I can't... I mean, I guess that it might get me fired, but it's not about... Or I mean, yeah, I guess I can't... I mean,
like,
okay.
Tune in and find out.
Deny.
Yeah,
okay,
I
yeah.
mean...
Tune in and find out.
Yeah, yeah. It's not about that. Please don't fire me for saying that.
They're like, Joey, we heard you said it's not about cops on a podcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And technically that broke our NDA. And I'm just like, well, I mean, look, I get it. Hollywood's hard.
We should, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back and, you know, we're getting loosey-goosey. We'll do some voicemails at some point, but we'll just keep talking. We're back.
And we're back. Yeah, let's pop into a voicemail and keep it going.
Hey, so I have a white Irish racist stepdad. I'm Japanese American, by the way, who married my Japanese mom. And he makes all these, you know, racist quips. And I try to tell my mom about them and shed light on the fact that he's racist. But her argument is, he married me, a Japanese woman. He must not be racist. How do you talk some sense into someone like that? Thank you.
Ugh, this is depressing me.
Sorry.
So anyway, more about that salad.
Yeah. So how could I be a racist? I'm sleeping with a person of color is a so one thing I should say, I realized I there's no good way to say this. And maybe this is too depressing for me to bring up, but
here we go.
No, this genuinely is like, I'm sorry in advance. Tani does not know this. But no, it's a little bit of a here we go. But my white uncle Michael did pass away last week. He was very old and it was unexpected. And I will say, so he's, I just feel like I should say something because people on the show, I've talked about him a lot. But also truly the last words I heard him say were he cackled when my aunt was like talking about Mexican people on the, holiday Zoom. Like literally the last words I heard or sound I heard of him was like him being racist. So like all joking aside, wow. He was legitimately a bad dude. And so I just felt like I should say something because it happened and he was in my family and like he's been a character on this show basically. Sorry. I'm like,
no,
I'm
not
I don't know what to say about shit like this, but So yeah.
Regardless, I'm sorry, man. That sucks. Like,
It doesn't. That's the thing. It's like, truly, he was like an odious human being. And like, he made my life worse, not in a terrible way, but you know, he's a bad dude. And one of the ways I would talk about it was like sort of an example of like the racist I was closest to. So I don't feel bad. And maybe I should, maybe there's something wrong with me that I don't feel like very bad about it. But I was like, I guess I gotta say something about White Uncle Michael because otherwise someone will bring it up on Twitter or something. And then I have to be like,
he died. Yeah. This was as normal a way as possible to bring it up. I'm sorry.
Yeah. On a podcast. Yes.
Yeah.
I guess I'm sorry to anyone in your family who felt differently about him for some reason. And, is sad now. So I'm sorry for those people. But yeah, you don't have to mourn a racist. That's just for everyone listening. You don't have to.
Because I'm like, I genuinely feel a little bit like a bad person. But again, it's hard not to just remember that like the last like 10 times I spoke to him at all, he every time said something like inexcusably racist. You know, just like, and part of it is like on me that I kept talking to him, frankly. So I don't know. I don't really have like a thing, but I was just like, this voicemail jogged that loose because I was like, this is a very white Uncle Michael situation. He would often be like, how could I be racist? He would call his wife, my aunt, the little girl, which just to give you an indication of what kind of racist white guy he was, you know, this like,
did he die by guillotine?
Yeah, he slipped on his open copy of Mein Kampf and then fell off of a balcony.
Yeah, he was like a bad dude. He like last year on Martin Luther King Day, or like I was like visiting my grandma in San Diego, and he was around, not last year, 2 years ago, I guess. And he went on this long run about how there didn't used to be Martin Luther King Day, but those people wanted a holiday. Like, you know, again, horrible racist person. Mm-hmm. So I simply do not mourn him. But like, I do think he got brought up as a punchline on this show enough that like, I think people kind of had like the wrong picture about him. Like I was venting because like I needed to fucking talk about this to somebody, but in real life it's just like, yeah, he's not a cartoon racist, he was a real ass racist.
He was a real racist.
Anyway, sorry for bringing all this up, but I just was like, I feel like I have to do it now.
So I want to say apologies for the death of recurring Yozis racist character.
Racist I know. Yeah.
The loss of that character. And then what I was going to say when hearing this voicemail originally before, Andrew, you talked about your uncle, was like, I feel like there's this thing with people where like they can't separate, like, it's like you can not be racist and still do racist things, or like support racist things or say racist things or whatever, you know, in the situation of what you said about your uncle. Oh, maybe he just was racist. Maybe there's nothing to soften that. Or like, you know, in this situation with this, this caller's stepdad, I mean, I think they've talked about this a couple times in the show where it's just like, is there hate in their heart? Are they just ignorant? Are they blah, 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 you know? And it's, but it still, that still sucks. It still sucks to be around people like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I would tell for the caller, like, I forgot the caller's relationship to the person he's married to.
It was
to.
Like their mom's,
aunt or mom?
I think it was mom's recently wed husband. So stepdad.
Yeah, new white husband.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, stepdad.
Yeah, it was Japanese mom, white, Irish husband. Yeah.
Yeah, I think like speaking with those relationships, whenever you can speak from the heart and say things like, you know, it really hurts me that you think that this person can't be racist just because of their proximity to you, because people's proximity to people of different colors doesn't prevent them from being racist. You know, just like people's proximity to poor people doesn't prevent them from being classist. It often allows them a lot more opportunities to demonstrate it. So, it's kind of like, I think if you can just say, like, it hurts me that you feel that way. And, as your daughter, I need to examine now the kind of self-hating things that you've raised me with. Because if this is truly what you think, I got to look through some of the stuff I've been taught by you.
Yeah. A couple things on that. With native racism, it's like the most native racism happens in border towns of reservations. So it's like, proximity. Mm-hmm. Often makes it worse. And then in addition to that, you know, exactly what Tani said, I think it's like a therapy thing, but it's important to use like I statements when talking to people about that stuff. How does it make you feel? It's like bumming, like it bums you out for like those reasons and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's okay to like just have like that, you know, it's okay to just have that conversation with your mom about like, you know, just like the I statements of how the things that he says make you feel, and like how that doesn't necessarily, like him marrying a Japanese woman does not, that doesn't give him a racist, like a get out of racism free card, you know?
Right.
but it is hard to have those conversations, and like, it's also that thing where maybe he's a guy that you just see on Thanksgiving. I don't know. Like,
yeah. I will say this will absolutely not work for the caller in a discussion with their mom. But the clearest analogy that ever got drawn for me on this is like, or the clearest, I think, response is like, like, just because you're having sex with someone doesn't mean you can't, you know, see them as less than. And to me, the clear example is, like, almost every misogynist sleeps with women. Like, true. Like, you know, right. Not every. But, like, basically every sexist man sleeps with women. And so if you think that is an argument to insulate yourself from the idea that you could, like, you know, have dehumanizing views or actions, like, you're just wrong and dumb. I don't know. I mean, obviously that won't work with one's mom, I feel, because whatever. But yeah, it's just like, yeah, it does. There's people do all kinds of stupid shit, especially in relationships. And, like, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, yeah, like, You can eat hot dogs and still hate white people. Like, you know, it's like just because you like,
yeah,
it's like just because you like an, you know, a person of a culture or an ass, it's like that doesn't absolve you of your being called out for hatred toward that thing.
I'm so mad that that's the cultural touchstone. Well, I'm not racist against white people. I eat a hot dog every day.
What? I mean, you should eat healthier.
Right, that sounds bad for you.
Yeah, it sounds just not healthy. I mean, look, hot dogs are great. Not shit talking hot dogs. I think hot dogs are great.
Mm-hmm. No one is. We love hot dogs. We love white people. Ring that bell. All right, let's listen to another voicemail.
Hello, I am a white single lady on the app trying to find some love. And obviously, whenever I see any sign of racism on someone's profile, it's just an automatic no. However, there's this one thing I don't know how to take it. So it's when a guy of color describes himself as a banana or as a coconut or as a Oreo. And on one hand, I kind of go, well, people identify how they identify. Obviously, everyone has the right to identify however they identify. And who am I to tell someone, especially a racialized man, how he should see his racial identity? On the other hand, it feels kind of weird to have someone be like, hey, I'm white on the inside. And I don't know if that's racist. So, is it racist?
Ooh. I'll tell you what. It may not be racist, but they don't love themselves.
And yeah.
How are you going to get into a relationship with somebody who does not love themselves?
Yeah. Because I think it's, and you know, it's like, I guess it's like, not that somebody can't be racist toward their own race. But it's like, it's like, I feel like if somebody is self-identifying as that, especially on like dating apps, that's a weird thing to put in your profile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm native, but not that native or whatever. It's like, oh, that's such a weird, I mean, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Who am I to psychoanalyze people on dating apps? a guest on a podcast, so I can.
This is sort of the time, Joey. So if you're going to do it now, just throw it out there.
It's like, I guess that, like, it's like, maybe that doesn't make the person racist to refer to themselves as an Oreo or a banana, or the native version of that as an apple. Like, and it's like, maybe that doesn't make them racist to refer. Yeah, you get it. It's like maybe that does not make them racist to refer to themselves as that. But I think it speaks to, like, maybe, like, work that person needs to do on themselves.
Yeah. It's kind of an interesting thing. And it is a weird thing with the psychology of some of our listeners, which is like, I get wanting to ask someone whether this is racist, but beyond all of that, like, there's zero chance you should date this person.
Literally,
regardless of what we say, there's no, like, line, there's no version of this that's good. So, like, who cares what you fucking call it? Like, just no.
Like, if I was like, you know, if I, like, match with somebody on a dating app and they say, it's okay, I'm white on the inside. Like, that's not somebody that I would like to spend any length of time with. That's not a thing meant to be racist toward white people. White people are delightful. Everyone a star in gym. It's like, you know,
now you're just getting greedy for those bell rings.
Greedy for those bell rings. But it's like, it's not that. It's more just like, I guess it's just sort of like a self-hatred thing.
Yeah.
Or it's just like,
and it also could be you know, the outer layer, the self-hatred is what we know is at the core. However little or a lot, that's what's at the core. The outer layer is a defense mechanism, is a, you've probably grown up, it sounds like these people have grown up around a lot of white people who have maybe called them that. And so you've adopted it to, you know, try and have a sense of humor about it so that it doesn't sting as much. But here's another thing, is that anyone calling themselves that on a dating app, they're not probably dating people of color, because people of color mm-hmm. coming across that are going to be like, motherfucking what? Girl, what? Ew.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's another reason you just probably shouldn't date this person, because that's a form of self-hatred if they're refusing yeah. to date anyone in their race, which yeah. they kind of are by putting a signifier like that on their yeah. on their app, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, it's just like, it's just a weird.
yeah, I mean, I think like, it, you know, oftentimes we like split hairs on this, but it is literal white supremacy to say that. Like,
yeah.
you believe whiteness is better than mm-hmm. other
yeah. shit.
So like, I don't know, caller, is it super important if it's racist or white supremacist or whatever? Like, it's not to most people. It probably shouldn't be to you. So like, I think it's just like, fine. I mean, I don't know. I guess don't police those people. You can say, you know, people of color have the right to be as ignorant and white supremacist as every other person.
Yeah, 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 totally.
Especially about themselves. But they're allowed to identify as any kind of stupid shit they want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to be near them. You should,
no, just keep it
yeah,
swiping.
Stay the fuck away from those people. They're horrible.
For a lot of people, cultural identity is like a complicated thing. Like for me, like it's like I grew up on a reservation. My mom's super native. I'm an enrolled member of a tribe. But like when I was in middle school, I didn't necessarily view myself as a native person. I viewed myself as a gamer, just like somebody who played video games. And it's like, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, and it's like while I'm playing video games, my mom would be like smudging my bedroom and stuff like that. But it's sort of like, it's like, I get that cultural identity, and you know, it wasn't until I was like probably, you know, in high school that I realized, oh, the importance of like, maybe my nativeness is probably a more important thing to pay attention to in my life than how good I am at Mario Kart, which is very good.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, like I get that, like, it's like that these people on these dating apps maybe have not gone on that mental journey about like, mm-hmm. you know, the importance of cultural identity and the importance of just like, you know, mm-hmm. it's like self-love, embracing who you are, and et cetera.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's like, that's not to say that those people are horrible, because like, I get the pressures of, especially the society that we live in, where like, you know, it's like whiteness is seen as a positive when it's just like, a, you know, it's mm-hmm. Like I get, mm-hmm. it's like, I get that mental journey, but it's like, I feel like it would be difficult to date that person because yeah. they're not like, literally not comfortable in their own skin, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially as a listener, if you're a listener of this show, it sounds like you're probably also doing other work in your life to be aware of these things. It would be hard to date someone who maybe isn't doing any of that work.
Yeah.
I guess what I will say in my slight defense is what I mean by horrible is less like the people who haven't done the work and more the people who think that that is one of the, like, what, 15 sentences you put on a dating app? Like,
yeah.
If like, don't worry, I'm white,
that's
is like
true.
one of the most important things you have to say about yourself.
There's so Those few people, things to introduce yourself to a person with.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
That's one of
yeah.
them.
And for me, it's just like, for me, most of those things are taken up by talking about Garfield. It's just like,
yeah.
it's just like,
oh, exactly.
enrolled Cowlitz tribe, Garfield, 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 and then just wait yeah. for those swipes yeah. to roll in.
Yeah. So truly, that's maybe what I'm getting at, is if you're like loud and proud with like, don't worry, I'm a banana, I still maintain those are horrible people.
I guess I get that.
I hear what you're saying about like the people who think that. But again, it's like, yo, if you wrote it down to entice yeah. people to date you, you are bad.
Yeah, like that's what you lead with.
Is get more hobbies so that your white supremacy and self-hate gets pushed further down the list so it doesn't make it onto the dating profile. Just get more interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, go hiking. Go hiking. People on dating apps love hiking. Do that.
Hiking. You can talk about sports. You can talk about your dietary restrictions.
Your yoga. You could say that, don't say this because it's racist against natives, but you could say that The Office is your spirit animal or your Patronus or whatever. Like, it's just, don't say spirit animal. Don't say spirit animal. You could say Patronus. That's a Harry Potter thing. But it's like, talk about what you like The Office. People on dating apps love that. You could say your love language is sarcasm. That's a thing. You know, it's like, that's a thing you could say.
But I think it's like, if you're listing the shit you like and the shit that's enticing about you and that's on the list, you're bad. You're a bad person.
Yeah.
All right.
You a mess.
I think we've done a great job. I think we've helped this person. I think we probably helped the last person. I'm just going to start saying that at the end of every show. We've helped these people. There's no denying it. They have been helped. They're better off than before.
Yeah, we've done it.
We're going to wrap it up, but we want to give Joey a chance to tell the folks where to find him and what to look for. Joey, take it away.
Thanks so much for having me. It's always a blast talking to you guys. It's always so fun to be on the show. You can find me on Twitter at Joey Tainment. You can find me on Instagram at Joey Clift with like 5 or 6 eyes. I forget how many. And then I think things I want to promote, I guess, watch Spirit Rangers on Netflix when it comes out in 2022, maybe. It's animated. Those things take a while. And then I'm not working on either of these shows, but these are the other two native shows that are going to be on TV soon. Rutherford Falls on the Peacock Network, created by Sierra Taylor Ornelas, and Reservation Dogs by Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi is going to be on FX. And, just what we were talking about up top with, it's so often that, like, POCs get, like, big chances without being insanely overqualified for something. Hollywood listens if people show up for things. So, like, these are the first three ever Native American TV shows created by natives about natives that are going to be on TV in the history of TV. And if they're not successful, they might be the last for a little while. But if they are successful, there might be 20. So, like, please support those shows just to give us the opportunities to tell our stories and get paid and to do stuff that's not just about native trauma. So please watch these things. Even the ones that I'm not working on, please watch them.
Watch them and post about them. The social support is becoming, especially in this pandemic when no one can go out and do premieres and stuff, the social support is everything. So
watch them, tweet them. Just like support native art. Just like, you know, that's the thing. Support native art.
Yeah. Fucking cool. Great to see you, man. This is great wonderful catching up. Yeah.
Ugh. We saw you at the beginning of the pandemic. I'm calling this close to the end of the pandemic. We got a bookmark.
Maybe the halfway point.
very, very optimistic, Toddy.
Yeah.
We'll revisit that statement. We'll revisit that statement later on.
Also, something I'm personally excited about, I want to talk about, is I got a new office chair. That's an exciting pandemic thing. It's real professional. It's great. So we're living our best lives.
Absolutely. And you can call in about aspects of your worst life, aka the racism in your life. You can call 323-389-7223. That's 323-389-RACE to leave us a voicemail.
Go to suboptimalpods.com. Find out how to support the show if you would like to. We really appreciate all your help. That's it. That's the show. We did the show. We help people. We're the best. Bye.
Yeah.
Bye. This is Suboptimal.